January 18, 2014, Squat for Pedro Show.
Thank you.
for Pedro should have started off with John Coltrane doing Say It Over and Over Again. And then Wata doing it in store. There's no title for it, but it's last summer. You ever been there, Criminal Records in Atlanta?
Probably.
Oh, Brother Matt, we have to.
Yeah, we got a guest.
Our guest.
Welcome, Henry.
Hey, thanks.
Henry Rollins in the house.
Much respect. There's a record. Do you know about this thing now of record stores that don't sell CDs? They only sell vinyl.
Yeah, I've been to a few of them.
Isn't that happening?
It's great. I think, you know, Record Store Day, which is like year five or something coming up. I don't know how many years.
April 19 this year.
Yeah. I don't know how many years it's been going. Yeah. But it's such a beautiful thing. Because, you know, the three of us, we grew up on vinyl. CDs were this kind of new, interesting, weird thing. The first time I ever heard the term compact disc was from Spot. We were at the old SST in Redondo, and he said, there's this thing called compact disc. It's going to be big. This is like 1983 or 4. And I'm like, okay. And he tried to explain it to me. I'm like, okay, who cares? And he said, yeah, the Dead Kennedys and the Durriti column are going to be on CD. Like, okay. And then by 86, it started to become a thing. And, you know, you run out and buy some CDs, you buy a CD player, and it's a novelty for a minute. And then you start to realize they don't sound all that good. And I think over the years, the affordability and the portability of CDs were pretty bitchin'. You know, you can have a ton of them in your dorm or whatever, and they don't take up much room.
Yeah.
But then you get to a certain point, and you put a record on, and you go, like, why does that sound different? Well, and then you get the science on it that vinyl actually holds more frequency, and your ears are not fooling you. And people go, oh, I want to hear that. And you find out a lot of bands are kind of audiophiles. Like, they don't want to record digital. A guy like Jay Maskus, yeah. He wants you to hear the record he made. That's on tape. It's not going to be on a hard drive.
Yeah.
And vinyl started coming back. Turntable sales are up. Vinyl sales are up. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, they say, I think Sony says by 2015, they're not going to sell physical CDs. They're going to probably do like limited Record Store Day vinyl of a big act. But then it's just going to be sadly, you'll download your music from then on. But I'm very happy that bands are fighting for vinyl and the fans are digging music, you know, vinyl again. Because it gave all the little independent labels vindication. Discord, Ian MacKay, Fugazi, he's yeah. Vinyl guy since, you know, I've known him since he was 11. That label has always been about the vinyl, remastering the catalog. It always sounds better. They really take care of it, and they have won in the end. It's great.
Remembering back, your first conscious music memory, can you recall?
Yeah, sure. The Beatles. Because my mom and I in Washington, D.C., lived in all these little apartments all around the city. Every 2 years, we'd go get to a new one for some reason. And she was a record store person. We'd go to the record store across the street from our little apartment. We'd go there 1 to 3 nights a week. And my mom would hear something. She'd, you know, on NPR, WETA in Washington, and she'd go get it. But she used to go see Miles and Coltrane. She's a big classical music fan, so I was raised with Miles, Coltrane, Sonny Rollins, Bartok, Stravinsky, Wagner, Chopin, Beethoven, Streisand, show tunes, Glenn Campbell, Dylan, Guthrie, you know, really cool 60s stuff. We would go see Pete Seeger and all sing Kumbaya and, you know, rock gently back and forth as they pass the Gallo wine around. I did all that. And so whenever I looked at one of my mom's records, I go, can I play this? You take it. Because I had this little GE record player in my room, and I would just destroy an album. You know, just ruin it
terrible.
Oh, yeah, as little kids are wont to do.
It was a Beatle record.
Yeah, my mom gave me, I don't know, like Yellow Submarine or Meet the Beatles or Yesterday and Today.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I had babysitters. My mom worked at the government. She worked downtown. She'd come back at 7 p.m., so I had someone to keep me from burning the apartment down. And so these girls, like high school girls, they'd bring their records to play to pass time waiting for the mom to come and let them go home. And they're all in love with Jim Morrison because he's a heartthrob and they're all like 15. And so they'd bring their Doors albums over. And my mom, being pretty damn eclectic, she's the one who bought the first Doors album in my life. She had this band with a crazy name, The Doors. I said, I like that record. She said, take it. And so by age 11, I'm digging Janis Joplin, Isaac Hayes, like Shaft and Hot Buttered Soul, Hair soundtrack for the Broadway production. Just because my mom was playing it. That Rolling Stones on that octagonal Through the Past Darkly Greatest Hits record. I just kind of squirreled that back into my room. But it was the Beatles. And I thought they were a children's band. Because they sang about yellow submarines and they seemed friendly. They looked nice on the cover. They were nicer to me than my dad, who's a scary guy. So I would retreat to my room whenever I could, being the kind of introspective, shy boy I was, and put on records. Or if it's just sitting on there, I'd just play it over and over again. And you could rig the record player to just repeat. The arm would come back on and drop. I'd listen to side whatever of some record for hours. It was the album, the side becomes a mantra. I didn't care if it was the same songs again. It was just someone keeping you company in your lonely room. It was like Paul and Ringo and George and John. And so music was how I coped, because school was scary, other kids were scary, the world was terrifying to me. And music was, no one was teasing you, no one was trying to hit you or calling you a cracker or running, chasing after you. And so music became like the big refuge, but it was the Beatles where I really connected.
Thank you. cuando yo te vi pasando la calle sin tu sombrero. Buscabas a quien te diera un poquito de dinero. Por mi coche tú pasaste, tocaste la ventanita. Ahí es donde yo saqué la dulcita manzanita. Y muy deliciosa, le pasé la manzanita. Me dijo que no, 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 que no podía con su boquita. Dio dos pasos adelante, abrió y luego de repente, yo no lo pude creer, no tenía ni un solo diente.
그 부부지 아니면 알 수가 없다고 하더라고요. 낡은 걸프들 보게는 잘못된 생활습관으로 생기기 때문에 한번 걸리면 잘 완치되지 않고 계속 재발하기 쉬운데요. 심하면 발톱을 뽑는 지경까지 가니까 휘둘러서 치료해야 합니다. 특히 폭이 좁은 신발을 신을 경우 발가락들이 눌리면서 발톱 모양에도 변형이 오기 쉽다니까 주의해야겠죠?
don't be cute. I make a call to you.
Twilight spills from cracked ether, barely verging, an emergent surge of ebony curves under burnt curls, wisping crisply betwixt raw ripped reality rent awry, vague metronomic supply, radially splayed now unfurled, puffed in tremulous clouds of darkening breath afloat, crackled vice and ions converge in circuits of living dust, some frail science but through whom every earth works. Blank narrative poesy, reliant on the thirsty reader's trust, where geodes explode in minutest glimmers. New light unbent, for if motor oil unfreezes, synaptic resolve soothes within. A coruscating initialization of math, now lightning charged, by what measure has this anatomical metalloid not sinned? So like its tinkerer, this gizmo a mirror, only frighteninger. Narcissistic ally encounters old futures, some new mistakes, before a countless unfolding tomorrow's breathed ably in hope. Aghast, all slumber awakens impulse, prize quickly and quakes. Mechanical musing clicks along minuscule alleys of construct. Strobing binary protocols begin to warble. Turned on in thought, on off, on off, on off, exclaims some vain program too shame to entrust. Quickening liquors of source code there, swallowing tightly taut. On ambulance strings, vague stereoscopy braids sound with deft light. Puppeting the reanimation of rocks and wind through factory stock. Erecting fantastic signals upon a burgeoning armature of might to simulate interactivity. Turned social graces into skeptical clocks. Organs within gears, within pianistic mechanology half played. Ticking pipes pump palpable permanence aloft. As time takes a walk, counting down from the moments as carving arced space goes straight, from a smoldering crucible of possibility rises much nothing from aught. Insistence therefore it is, reason only that will desires it, vibrating our air with colors of sound smelling keenly of memory, mashing ungrounded electricity until one feels like blue shit. Wearing vainly how it matters, then sprinkling coins desultorily, and rapt adulation for remotest possible outcomes derived by the pen, luring pigments to flow through the boorish bristles onto bleached tents, unhooked in green, swift rivers pull unreadied will against their grain, except hoving boulders aloft upon whimsy will remain a creed intense.
Show, we just heard Dirty Beaches with the singer, and then Chicano Batman with La Manzanita.
Cool.
Ingrown Nail from Shame on Town. They're from Korea. And, Lullaby from Ijnai, and they're from Mongolia. No Mercy, do you remember that?
Yeah.
San Francisco, right.
A reissue on Superior Viaduct.
That's right.
Steve runs it.
That never came out.
Yeah, Steve, he runs Superior Viaduct. I forget his last name. He is a good man.
Yeah.
And his reissues, that guy is doing the work.
Yeah,
Negative Trend 7-inch he just put out. He re-released the Hardcore Devo records.
Right.
Craig Leon's Nomos record.
Yeah.
The guy who produced the first Suicide album.
Sure.
The Nomos record was on Tacoma. It goes for tons of money on, you know, antique collectors or have it. But he reissued it. Beautiful vinyl pressing. Heldon. He put out Heldon Records. He just sent me a little care package the other day. What did he just put out? Another just monster release he just put out. I did, on my little radio show, I did a whole 15-minute block of Superior Viaduct releases. Yeah, he is a damn champion.
I think he did a Urinal one, too.
Yes, he just did Urinals. He's been doing the Avengers. I mean, every single thing he does, he's so damn good.
Yeah, and it's bad, you know, nobody thinks when they're born. So just because you weren't there shouldn't mean you shouldn't get to hear.
Exactly.
I remember for the longest time it was only one song on that earcon, no, two, on that earcon, that orange
right.
one with middle class, but from England. Fast Records, I think it was.
Yeah.
Then, that was Cross the Line, No Mercy from this. Check it out, Hank's right about this label, Super Viaduct.
Yeah, the Superior Viaduct.
Superior
they reissued the Monitor album. I mean, he's just incredible.
The one with the meat pump.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we heard Kimono Cult with Todos Menos de Lord. It's a new band that Omar has with John Frusciante.
Yeah, you know, Omar's great. Because
brand new one.
He has a brand new one like every 15 minutes. Last time I was at Frusciante's, Omar was like walked in, and they're getting ready to go do something. I mean, both of those guys, they're the real thing. They really play their asses off.
This is with Terry from the Bushmen's.
Yeah, she's I felt so happy. I was so lucky to see La Butcherette's because whatever label maybe Omar sent it to me. But
Sergeant House.
Okay, well, it was maybe Sergeant. Well, no, not the Rainbows record. The La Butcherette's was it on Sergeant House? Okay, well then the nice lady at Sergeant House sent it to me, so I had the record.
Yeah.
Then I went to go see you play at the Palladium, and they opened up, and I got there in time to see the show. And I went, oh, yeah, I have that record. And the record's good. But live, I was watching Terry Genderbender. I said, wow, she's like my favorite singer now. I mean, like, it's the most charismatic thing. Yeah, I know. And she thanked you from the stage. She said, thanks to Mike Watt.
What's happening? And the last time you asked me that, I got Sisters in the Pit from, you know, this Oakland band. They're bad.
Yeah.
And so I think he likes Sister with the Two.
Yeah. Well, I saw them at the Palladium, and I dug that record out again. I heard it in a whole different way.
Yeah.
And, boy, I was so... Because they broke up soon after, or at least put it on hold or whatever. But the Bosnian Rainbows thing, I like just as much.
And now there's this new thing called Kimono Cult, we just heard. Liquid Diamonds, Drive Eric, Robot Minds, Chris Goger, he's out of Austin. And Too Weird to Be a Tree, Allegheny Whitefish, it's Mr. Tom, out of Pittsburgh. Becca. Dot Wiggin band with Banana Bite. You might know Dot Wiggin. She was in a band called Shags.
Yeah.
Where Dezo used to play that at the office.
Yeah, I reference my pal Foot all the time.
She made a solo album.
Really?
One of the sisters is gone.
Oh.
Passed away. But she, yeah, one of the ladies.
Yeah, they became hip again somewhere in the 80s.
Yeah, right.
A bunch of people.
The guy got reissued with the father, because it was always the father's brainchild, because he had got a prophecy from his mother. This was how he's going
to be. You gorgeous gals are going to be stars, and I'm your Phil Spector.
Out of New Hampshire, same place that I think G.G. Allen came from. Great state. Live free or whatever. Autumn Leaves, finally, by Tripod Jimmy with Hermie Eugenio. Live, it's not the Autumn Leaves we know. It's do you know Tom Herman? He played guitar on Modern Dance.
Yeah.
And he made this band called Tripod Jimmy. I think it was named after a dog who lost a leg. So getting back to your music in D.C., and you're listening to records, and it's keeping you sane in the bed.
Still does.
In your little sequestered.
Yeah.
Your chamber.
Like a lot of little lonely kids growing up in America. You get your record or your record player, your radio, and the music, because it's non-judgmental. You learn the words, you can sing along. It becomes a real nice place to go, you know, to get a little bit of...
When does it change where instead of listener, you become creator?
Well, when I was in high school, I was like a very generic youth, hyperactive, angry at everything, unfocused anger, just, you know, 15 and just pissed. And that's when we're about the same age. I saw Zeppelin and Nugent and Van Halen and Aerosmith, because that's what was on the radio. That was an $8 ticket, and you could go see them at the Capitol Center in Largo, Maryland, and I think it's a parking lot now. But that's where we would go. And those bands, as great as they all were, and they were, none of them addressed my anger issues. They sang about cars and girls and misty mountains and whatever, and I couldn't understand it. I just kind of hummed along. But none of them were, like, angry. And then someone loaned me, a guy named Bert, who was on a lot of early Discord records. He was in the Untouchables with Ian MacKay's younger brother, Alec, one of the first ever Discord bands. Anyway, Bert was cool and had his ear to the ground, and he said, hey, you should check this out. We were skate buddies, you know, neighborhood skaters. He gave me the Sex Pistols record. He goes, like, borrow this, don't scratch it. I put it on. Kind of terrified me. I'd never heard music like that. I'd never heard a singer like that. I returned it. He's like, became my library. He said, here's the first Clash record, which was an import. Hard to find. I went into record stores trying to find that record. I couldn't find it. And I heard that, and I was like, oh, I can question authority? What Jefferson should have taught me in high school that no one ever taught me. I learned that from Joe Strummer. And Ian MacKay of Minor Threat and Fugazi, you know, we were best friends growing up. We're still best friends now. We kind of bonded over music in the 70s with Hendrix and Zeppelin and all that. We heard punk rock, and our lives changed. And that was the switch, where finally there's a scream that can now be attached to the mouth. Because the mouth used to be the Munch painting. There was this big gaping mouth and nothing, no volume. Now all of a sudden, Johnny Rotten, Joe Strummer, you know, and all the great punk rock coming out of New York, Ramones, you know, you think you're the loser. You know, you're the outsider. Your outsiderness just now has a soundtrack. It's the Ramones. And you see that iconic Roberta Bailey portrait of them on the first album cover. You're like, yeah, they're like me. They're not getting invited to any parties. Yeah. They're not cool, but actually they're the coolest. Yeah. And I really, I kind of wanted to get behind a microphone.
Right, not just listen.
They made you think that you could do it. Well, they were empowering.
Yeah,
because when you hear Led Zeppelin, you never think you can go do it, because they're just too damn good. No. You'll never summit that mountain.
Yeah, yeah.
And I still listen to them and go, yeah, how can you be that good? And I'm not saying the Clash didn't make me feel a sense of awe, but Joe Strummer's not singing on key, but he's a great singer. Johnny Rotten's not hitting a note, but he's about as good as it gets. And they're not always on time, and it doesn't always rhyme, but it sure made sense. And it makes you think that you, the working man or whatever, that you can do it.
Yeah.
And that was a big damn deal for me, because I always felt out of place, not as cool, not as handsome, can't throw the ball straight. Yeah. And all of a sudden, my life has a soundtrack. And it gave me some possibility. And so I started going to punk rock shows in D.C., a scene you could fit in this room. I mean, like a little tiny local scene. And all of a sudden, girls are talking to me. You meet a girl like, hey, your clothes look cool. Hey, what's your name? You're asking me my name? A girl wants to meet me? Yeah. You're like, wow, okay, I've arrived. And thankfully, your soundtrack is the Bad Brains and the Teen Idols and this amazing local DC scene, punctuated by the occasional visit, Clash, Buzzcocks, Cramps, who were New Yorkers at the time. And you could go walk right up to the front of the stage and put your elbows on the stage and have Lux Interior sweat on you, have Dee Dee Ramone sweat on you, literally. And it was huge. And one night, I was watching the Bad Brains, and HR grabbed me by my arm, and he dragged me up on stage. He says, you're going to sing with the Bad Brains tonight. And I said, I'm not a singer. He goes, you're a singer, and tonight you're in the Bad Brains. I knew all the songs, kind of, sort of. He put the microphone in my hand, and I don't forget what they played, a couple of songs, and I sang.
That was your first
game. Yeah, because HR said, you're a singer. He said to me, he said, Henry, you're a singer. And I said, no, you're like the singer, you know? And to this day, he's still kind of legendary to me.
I would say that's kind of an inclusive philosophy. Bringing a cat up.
Yeah, well, trial by fire. Wow. But the audience was like, yeah, it's a party, man. Like, don't worry about it if you blow out. And I probably did.
After that, that's when you, I'm going to make a band now.
Well, I never thought I was ever going to really be in one, but it really kind of made it a thing I kept thinking about, because it sure felt right. Yeah. to be on stage with a microphone, with a band, or just on my own. That's the most at home, fear free I am. Where some people have to go on stage, I'm nervous. I'm like, really? I'm nervous the rest of the time. I'm fine on stage. That's where I love being. I'm like a fish in water up there. Never had
that then? With
absolutely. HR? Never had stage fright in my life.
Even with that HR thing?
No, I just kind of went up there and went, yeah. Oh, it was all new and weird, yeah. But it wasn't unwelcome or terrifying. It was like roller coaster-ish, but it was awesome.
You heard about forgetting the words. You knew the words.
And
it
some
came out.
And it just came out. It was like, when you start riding a two-wheeled bike, you're like, oh, I've been riding this all my life. It just felt like you never did know how to ride a bike. When I started playing music...
Yeah, when did you get the band together?
I was lucky. There was a band where they kind of sort of broke up. This band, the singer left, some guy named Lyle. He left to go play guitar in some band called Minor Threat. And all of a sudden, this band, the Extorts, needed a singer, because their singer became a guitar player in a now legendary punk rock band. Well, you know, things are changing. And Ian MacKay formed Minor Threat with his old drummer from the Teen Idols. And Brian Baker and Lyle Pressler all of a sudden make up his band. And they needed a singer. The world got around. Like, hey, you're a total maniac. You wanna try and be in our band? I'm like, I'll sing in your band. Give me the microphone.
At the gig.
Oh, you go see him play.
Yeah. Oh, you're actually seeing
him. Yeah. Okay. And so all of a sudden I'm singing, and we start, you know, they had a couple of songs. I rewrote the lyrics for him. I said, okay, well, new guy, new day.
Oh, those are your first lyrics ever?
Yeah. Well, the first song I ever wrote was a song called Go to Alaska, and I wrote it in high school. And it was about, like, let's just reject civilization, go to Alaska where everything is real, like where you can really live and die. And I showed it to Ian.
Yeah.
I still have the piece of paper. And he said, my band, the Slinkies, pre-Teen Idols, he was like, we'll do that song. And they actually did it.
What made you want to write that song? So you're thinking...
I was mad. Oh. It was a song of rejection. Like, well, let's leave all this conformity, my school uniform, all my douchebag classmates who are like the country club kids. Yeah. And I go, let's go to Alaska, where it's like life and death. I was like, you know, like 16, 17. I was mad. And, you know, it has this, like, a whole chorus. It's all pop. Like, you know, factories, no, fast food, no, go to Alaska. And my neighborhood friends made it into a song. And, like, I have some bad cassette of it. And,
wow,
like, they did it.
I'd like to play that on the show one day. We're at the end of the first hour of the Pedro Show, January 18, 2014. Brother Matt with our guest, Henry Rollins. Hold tight for hour two. January 18, 2014, second hour, Watt from Pedro Show.
If the flies want me, let the flies have me. If I stink too bad, take drastic action.
Oh, Nelly. Fuck off. Change and go there, go with the spirit. Change and go. Russia. Some may call me shameless. I prefer the blameless. You can call me vampire. Down at my campfire, Nosferatu's grandchild. Godly, you be God. You're laying it on me. You're playing it on me. Surely it's no way for anyone to see. You're laying it on me. You're playing it on me. Surely it's no way for anyone to see. There's a rejection going on.
Oh.
Squat from Pedro. Our show started the second hour with Richard Meltzer and Spielgust were doing Last Will and Test. Then a fuck up by G.G. Allin and the Jabbers. Remember when he had like kind of the wave haircut?
Yeah.
He had quite a metamorphosis. Or a musical journey. Then Sneakers by Teen Idols.
Teen Idols, yeah.
Sneakers weren't shoes, right? It's dudes who snuck cigarettes and shit.
Well, no. For us.
Yeah.
They were the shoes you're wearing right now.
Oh, they were shoes.
Yeah, and the lyric is...
I thought it was some dudes...
No, the lyric is, put on your sneakers and be a kid. Come on and have some fun. You know, you're not fooling anyone. And the lyric is, why do you want to grow up so fast? Let your teenage ignorance last. Put away all those whips and chains. Come on and enjoy your growing pains. I probably got a few words wrong there. But that's the sentiment of the song. Because Ian, he wrote it, he was concerned with all of a sudden all of his friends are smoking and drinking.
Yeah.
And like, wait, you're 16. Why are you acting like your parents?
Yeah.
You know, like, why are you getting wasted? Like, don't you want to be on your skateboard? Don't you want to be goofing around being a young, you know, guy on the streets? Because we were all, you know, skateboards, bikes. We're like getting up at 6 in the morning to go hit some skate spot. And some of our friends... Ludes, you know, like the kind of, you know, throw up on your shoes and not know drugs and like don't remember what you did last night kind of partying. And Ian wrote that song in kind of a rebellion.
Not really against his parents, but more his own.
His peers. Yeah. And he also wrote a song called I Drink Coke. I think that's what it's called. I Drink Coke. I Drink. And the other lyric was I Drink Milk. I drink milk every day. I drink milk for the vitamin A or whatever. And then I drink Coke for the tooth decay. Coke and milk. Da-na-na, Coke and milk. And he was rebelling against his friends who were self-destructing, which got him called, oh, you're a prude. You're a pilgrim. You're the FBI. He's like, no, man, I'm trying to survive.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was dudes who were sneaking smokes.
No.
Okay.
No, Ian is standing in the face of that.
Shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Thanks for clearing that. It's like 30 years.
Yeah. Now you know.
No, I got that green one, SOA record.
Nice one. That's rare.
When Paranoid.
Yeah, which I bought because they were on Black Flag label.
I had a lot of songs on a 7-inch, too.
Yeah.
So I thought we were weird kind of...
I bought that on M Street.
Different mothers.
Yeah, I bought that, and I must say, I was very normal. Oh, nut. But that artwork on Paranoid Time, that tremendous Pettibone drawing, I looked at that and it really messed with me. I'm like, wow, this is really, it's making me nervous.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad.
But I was the only one in the neighborhood who had that record.
Public Defender.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Words.
Yeah, but that was...
Did they already have the music by this time?
No.
The band?
No, okay. We came up with that in the bass player's basement at a practice one day. And everyone in the band, they wrote it and simultaneously rebelled against it.
Right there.
They wrote the riff, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and then they sat there and they're playing, they're like, this is too slow. And I actually sat there and went, wait a minute, wait, yeah. No, we're onto something here. And there's just something about it that just had a thing.
Yeah.
I said, no, there's a groove. I didn't use that word, I'm sure. But I said, no, don't stop playing it. And they said, well, do you have any words? I'm like, well, no, just keep playing it. And I remember the bass player was first to go like, no, this is dumb. And I said, and it ended up being like the song that kind of sort of people knew us for all 8 gigs that lasted 11 minutes. But it was, and you know, Ian.
There's one coming for you.
Yeah, and it just became one of those songs that, you know, people are like, I like that one, the thing about the cops, the slow one. But, and it's not that slow.
Yeah.
But in those days, what are you guys, hippies are playing slow? And there's this emphasis on, like, don't be a hippie, whatever you do. Yeah, those days were fun. We could fit your entire back line in the back seat of your car.
And then we heard Catch the Water. You remember this? Oh, no, Fetch the Water.
Oh, I loved being part of that.
Right?
Yep. I'm so happy about that.
Yeah.
That we got all got to play together.
Black Men instead of Minute Flag.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how those decisions were made, but
what?
I really like the way that tune came out.
What, how the meld came together?
Or how the name of the band.
Oh. You know, I don't remember anything.
Black Men.
I don't remember anything about...
Maybe you were doing some other recording. Black
Flag would get block time at Total Access because we would get this rate. And we would record from like midnight till 9 because all the real bands would be going home to their wives. We would come in literally at midnight.
Yeah.
One time me and Spot went into Total Access to do My War vocals, and Wasp was doing demos by day, and we actually passed them in the lounge. And like, these guys are all like, you know, 6'5", not the worst guys. And they went, you guys are the both punk rock guys, right? And we're like, oh yeah. Cause they're like these huge dudes. And like, they're just demoing full time, yeah, full rate. And we're spending all the money we have going in at midnight. And they would literally give Spot the keys to the place. Cause you know, he's a good guy and he knew how to shut everything down. And so Ginn and Spot would rent the studio for like, you know, 6 weeks, five nights a week. And they would go in and record like 3 Black Flag albums at once. You know, the instrumental one and this one and this one, and also bring in Satan Vitus to do this or pickups on that record. It was just kind of this, they had this kind of grand vision.
Yeah.
And Ginn was that prolific at that time where the guy's writing like 15 songs at a time. And so that time was made good use of. And I think those recording sessions, the Minute Flag thing, was kind of sort of in one of those big blocks where they said,
maybe it was when you were doing tunes for In My Head and Loose Nut.
Yeah, well, that
because
was
were kind of done at
that
the
was
same time
a for massive you. Recording block. The In My Head tunes were instrumentals for months and months. I had these cassettes of them. I'm like, wow. And I asked Bill, I go, when did you guys go do these? He goes, oh, yeah, it's Greg's new songs. Like, I'd never even heard them. He goes, oh, yeah, here, check this out. And, like, he was, like, 12 instrumentals. I'm like, when did you guys write this? He goes, oh, he just, like, threw them at us the other day. And Greg, you know, wouldn't sleep. He was just writing all the time. But I remember doing that vocal for Minute Flag, and I was really happy that I kind of got to be involved with the Minutemen. You know, it was very meaningful for me to be on, you know, have a lyric of mine on Double Nickels.
Yeah,
you know, me and D. Boone.
Storm in my house.
Yeah, we were building the Ginn, Mr. Ginn's house.
The Wasso pad.
Yeah, and so we'd appear on the slab of cement at like, you know, 5 in the morning, some just obscene hour. And me and D. Boone, you know, and I'm so glad that he and I had that time to hang out and become bros, because I'd see him at shows and he would couch surf at SST. But in those days, we're working all day together in the sun, and he's bringing his little cassette player. He loved the that bootleg, the Townsend demos that became Scoop, like, you know, the nice, like the 9-minute version of Bob O'Reilly. That's the instrumental. He would bring that, and then he would bring instrumentals of what became Double Nickels.
All right.
And you guys are writing so many songs that you know, we need lyrics. We need like, you know, to stoke the thing. He goes,
well,
you got
anything? We had run out. You know, we had done an album in November of '83, and not a title for it yet. But it's done. Then the Hooskers came
And made Zen Arcade.
Yeah, and we were like, man,
I know.
Let's write a bunch of songs.
I know. If Hooskers gets a double album, Minutemen gets a double album. And so D. Boone said to me, he said, you got anything? I said, well, here's this thing I think I read at a poetry reading at KXLU. I go, here is this thing I wrote at the Ginn's house about, you know, your body is a metaphor as a house, storm in my house or in my head. And I go, here. I go, can you use this? He said, well, I'll get back to you. And he said, we did it. And then later on, I hear that. I played that on my radio show recently. And, you know, to hear D. Boone sing something you wrote, you know, to have that relationship, it's a real big deal.
Well, what about the spiel on this one here, Fetch the Water? Are those yours?
No.
They're his?
I think it's his. Because I remember being handled.
Direction?
Well, as far as the melody, da, 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 to get the water, da, and I think he kind of gave me a little vocal lesson, like, okay. And then there's a chorus, Fetch the Water. And I think, isn't Kira in on that as well?
Is she?
Yeah, I think Kira might be singing on that as well, because she can sing really well.
Yeah.
And I kind of do this sing-songy, you know, I'm just trying to sing.
Who did the words to that? He never told me.
I forget, but I kind of, my gut is telling me it was D.
Wow. Wow. Well, it's one of my favorite duets. I wish you guys could have done more.
Yeah.
Speaking of fans, after that we heard Kim Salmon and Spencer P. Jones. I got to do a bunch of gigs.
Love those guys.
Southeast of Bourbon and
Kim did one of the gigs.
On my little radio show I was making last night, I was talking about Kim Salmon and what a solid individual he is. Because I played a scientist tune on my show. And a song called Happy Hour. Great song. Yeah. I've known Kim since 1989 when I first went to Australia. So I already knew about the scientist. I knew about the Beast of Bourbon. But right at that time, he had started the Kim Salmon, the Surrealists. And so I had some money, and I bought some of those records. And I actually saw the Beast of Bourbon my first night in Australia. I was jet lagging. And this guy said, get up. And I was sleeping on this my promoter's couch. And he said, get up. We're going to a show. I said, okay. And we went to go see the Beast of Bourbon. And that's the first time I saw Kim Salmon. And I see Kim pretty much every time I'm in Australia. He comes to one of the shows.
Okay.
Good man.
He was up in it was Brisbane, Gold Coast.
Mm-hmm. I think he lives there.
But all of them, you know, Tex, I just dig that band.
Yep.
I saw every gig that they did with us. And,
yeah, always worth checking out. And both those guys. Yeah, Charlie, too. Charlie does solo. He's got, like, all those guys have five bands at the same time. Yeah, they're
such
real
a big
thing.
Land. It's hard to...
Well, huge country, five radio stations, four record stores, and 10 venues. And so if you want to stay fed, you have to have your salsa band, your polka band, your punk rock band, and you have to produce and juggle. I mean, every band has, like, every guy has, like, five bands.
Right.
But gives you a lot of records to buy. You know, there's that whole Eddie Current Suppression Ring gang of bands. Eddie Current Suppression Ring, Total Control, the Ooga Boogas.
Yeah.
All those bands are good, too. UV Race. All those bands are amazing. So good. And they're all, like, you know, two guys are in this band, one guy... Yeah, it's all one kind of one commune.
Okay, and then we heard Barbez, Keter, Ital. It's kind of his old Italian Jewish music that's been redone, discovered. Then we have some stuff from Brother Jeff in Austin. You know the Hickoids, Sostex, that label, He sent me a bunch of stuff. So Jackie Pignata Protest, Suicide of Friends, Snowbird, Candyman Blues, the Copper Gammies, and finally Cleo's Gone by the Gay Sports Casters. It's that time of the show when Brother Matt does his spin cycle.
Cool.
So Brother Matt, let's get it going.
Cool.
Before a girl is out of it, we get to the hospital, she dies. In the meantime, he has fallen in love with this girl. He has fallen in love with a dead girl. He writes to Henry, I cannot think of other women. I try and go out with other women. The only girl I want is this girl. I'm in love, and she's dead. I never even learned her name. What do I do? Okay. This is me on my Saturday night. You figure, he's in a rock band, right? What happens to guys in rock bands on Saturday nights? Airplanes pass over their homes, and beautiful 16-year-olds go out by the hundreds and parachute onto the roof, right? I open my window, they all come in, already naked. We want you! Wrong! I'm in my room in Silver Lake. What a mistake that was. 9 p.m. Saturday night, rock guy. What is he doing? He's answering the mail. I mean, that's my life, you know. Mr. Excitement, he lives next door. Mr. Boredom here. If I had a life, I would have read the letter, crumpled it up, and went, right, and thrown it out. Oh, no, not me. I spend 3 hours walking around my room. What should he do? Oh, my God! I put myself in the same position. Right. I don't know. Can I ever sleep again? Bad. So I'm writing them all these postcards. Like, the first one was, like, you know, totally judging. You pervert! You weirdo! You are... You're scum! I've been called that enough times by, you know, people who say they like me. Not that way. So, what do I say? Well, maybe you can find someone who's had a similar experience in rap. I don't know. So finally, after many hours of deliberation, realize I'm not a doctor, man.
I just wrote it back. I go, man, I don't know what to tell you. Please don't do anything to harm yourself. Get some kind of help. Do not do anything bad or rash. Good luck. So I said, okay, Tom, what would you have done? And he said, oh, you handled it all wrong. Okay, I would have said, forget her! Forget her! She's haunting you from the grave! A heartbreaker! She did the same thing to me! Forget her! She'll do it every time!
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Son?
Yes.
Is this microphone on?
Yes, it is.
There's a point of view I wish to ventilate at this time. It is?
Yes, sir.
All right, then. Well, if it's on, then here I go. You know, there are days when your ignorance rises to such a level that it forces a civilized and cultured man like myself to pause and entertain the notion of knocking all the teeth out of that empty head of yours. But instead of resorting to such pedestrian means of expressing my displeasure, I just roll down my window and say,
fuck your mama!
Mother!
Yo, y'all are illish, nigga.
Yo, y'all are
ill tonight.
Yeah!
That's right. You wander through your life, lost and complacent, happy to let your stupidity waste the time of others. And that's why there's laws and jails and courts and armies of law enforcement officers to administrate and ensure that law and order are kept at all times. Go down with your alarming lack of self-control. You destroy everything in your sight. Amidst the smoke and rubble of the ruination that you have perpetrated, you would see me laughing at you in the mess you made for the rest of us to clean up. And you always leave it for someone else to clean up, don't you? I've been picking up after you all my life. Well, you know me.
Mother,
yo, y'all are
illin'
tonight.
Yeah! Fuck your mama.
Mother, yo, y'all are
illin'
tonight.
Yeah!
I couldn't have said it any better myself. You say you hate the world you live in. Room too small, sky full of pollution, garbage on the street. Your job is not to stimulate that gargantuan intellect of yours. Although with your appallingly low sense of self-worth, it probably does. You say you feel controlled and watched over, and that big brother mentality infuriates you, and you swear to someday break out and do something. Well, the powers that be are the powers that be because you are so easy to control and are so in need of adult supervision. Now, what's that? The subliterate leading the dysfunctional? Don't tell me that you wouldn't switch places the first chance you got. You're not seeking your freedom. You're just the kept wishing you were the keeper. Oh, no? Yeah, right.
Let me know when you evolve, you little dictator in waiting.
Fuck your mama.
Mother,
tell y'all the healing tonight.
Yeah.
Fuck your mama.
Mother,
tell y'all the healing tonight.
Inspiration and impetus behind that.
I would say that was definitely a Henry-inspired spin cycle.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, we had some from Rollins Speak, some of that Minute Flag stuff, and some of Henry with Mother Superior in there.
Oh, yeah. Mother Superior, I remember that.
Good guys.
Where were they from? They were...
L.A. I had no band.
Where? But where were they from?
Hollywood. Oh, no, well, half the band, well, two-thirds of the boys were Philadelphia, Wilmington, Delaware types,
sure.
And then the drummer was California. But, you know, they were a local three-piece.
Yeah.
I would go see them play, produce a couple of their records, became friends with them. And they said, you know, Henry, where's your band? I go, ah, well, we broke up. You know, the Melvin Gibbs
sure.
lineup. I said, well, we broke up. I don't have a band. They said, well, you should do some music. I said, okay. I got some song ideas. You want to do some music with me? And they went, hell yeah. So I said, okay, let's book some practice time and see what happens. We wrote like five songs that hour, just, you know,
wow.
Just rocking out. And I said, you guys want to go on tour? You want to make a record? And they're like, you know, tails wagging. It's the best bandmates I ever had because everything I wanted to do, they went, okay. Because you'd say to my old bandmates, hey, let's go play in Moscow. Like, Moscow's a long plane ride, and they won't have the thing. I'm like, really?
It sounds like in the basement with that song. Like
we get to go to Moscow.
I want to hear the, they rebelled against you.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, my feet will hurt. I'm like, really?
The belly achers,
will we get to go to Russia, and you don't want to go?
Yeah, right.
Can, you know, for me, rock and roll is a ticket to see the world.
Yeah.
Like, how else are you going to get to go to Japan? Like,
yeah.
What, as a tourist? Who has the money?
Yeah.
And so I said, like, let's go to Russia. And then my bandmate went, nee, 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 nee. I said, you know what? You guys are, you know, your ice is getting thin. So I said to these, you know, I'd say to these guys, you know, because they never played outside of L.A. I go, like, you want to go to Europe? They're like, go to Europe? You know, as Mark E. Smith used to say, like pilgrims with free milk. And they're like, hell yeah. And so their first gig out of town with me was opening for Metallica in a soccer stadium in Portugal. And they're like, look here, I'm like, is this really me?
Well,
and, you know, that was...
not belly aching about the plane. Right?
No, I'd say, fellas, you're like, we're going to go play in Russia on this
no,
tour.
No, I know exactly what you... It's this kind of... what do you call it? Quote unquote musician sense of entitled. I mean, these cats, they can feel pee under 45 mattresses.
Yeah. And I.
See,
I've always been grateful.
Doing that work you were talking about, the other duty earlier.
Yeah.
That got you so you
yeah.
don't take things for granted.
Yeah. Like,
so it wasn't a total waste.
Well,
no.
You know, not at all. But you know what I know.
Yeah.
You know the van and not
yeah.
sleeping.
Yeah.
And driving on no sleep and playing on no sleep and like sleeping on a couch and getting the last band's parasites on your body. I mean, like, that's the life. But it trains you for later life.
Because
to this day, Anytime I eat, I never take a meal for granted. I'm always grateful. Yeah. Even, you know, this morning I ate. I'm like, wow, food. Because I remember not having it. It's not like I'm, you know, starving to death. But all of us indie punk rock guys from back in the day remember the three meals James Brown used to say. No meal, missed meal, and whatever meal. You know what I mean? And or small meal. And to this day, you know, I'm always, it kept me very grateful and very hardworking. And once my bandmates got this, well, I need my... Yeah, I'm like, really? Okay, I see. I now see the use by date on your forehead. And the Mother Superior guys, we worked at the speed of me, which is like insanely on, you know, wind sprint speed. We're right tour record, right? That's all we did for like five solid years.
Yeah.
And we did like five studio albums, two live albums. I mean, and we toured like insane men.
Yeah.
And because every time I say, fellas, we just got back, you know, it's a Christmas break. You want to be back on the road by April? They're like, yeah. And I said, how about you guys, how about Mother Superior open for the Rollins Band and you guys would do two sets a night? Thanks, Henry. Not, oh, my fingers hurt. And they were so
Ernest,
cool.
Ernest Katz.
Yes. And that track that you were just playing. Where I had the voice all pitched down. I said, fellas, I'm going to do this thing. We're going to pitch my voice down. I've got this voice sample. I said, I need just a steady beat. We laid that down. I said, now, Jim, the guitar player, I want some piano, kind of, sort of, like hyperbolic, syllabic, sesquidale, mystic, hot butter soul. Block chords, like a little McCoy Tyner. You know, just like grooving with it. Big, blocky chords. You know, and he said, okay. I said, you can do that. One take. Thank you. And whenever I had an idea, like, hey, can we do a song that has a feel like this? They would just pick up their instruments like, into it. Like, let's write it right now. Wow. Never. No, I can't be here. And it was such a joy to get in a practice room with people who just want to make music with no elitism, no star trips, and no whining. Man, it was good.
That's a good crew.
Oh, man, that was just...
We're at the end of the second hour. Great. January 18, 2014, our special guest, Brother Matt.
Yeah.
Danny Rollins. Hold tight for hour three.
Yeah.
January 18, 2014, third hour, Watt from Pedro Show.
Yeah. drink in the morning. You go to work, but you know you're bound to quit. Tired and the too loud. You stay in bed cause you can't get out of it. Some days are gray. Some days are strange. And I say, it's just a feeling, some emotion, some tangled heart got in your way. And it's okay.
By the words of Richard Meltzer. Regardless of your organs, sensuousness.
Comic book. I want to, I'm gonna do it before I want to, I'm gonna do it before I want to, I'm gonna do it before
Yeah, well, fucking sure. Righteous, dude. People, I'm an idiot. I didn't hear record, but let me tell you the songs right away. Devin, Gary, and Ross with See Through Windows, Some Days Are Gray, Manic Glow. Jack?
Yeah.
Awareness.
TSOL, Jack. You should let people know.
Yeah, sorry about that. TSOL, Jack. And also Tender Fury.
Yeah.
Awareness for Backward Generation, Kevin Siegel. Painter Man by The Creation. Chuba, Cabra, Rock and Roll, Blood Drinker. That's Greg from Angry Samoan. Actually, from Bob.
Right. Yeah. I got that single.
I'm in love with your mom.
I'm in love with your mom.
Always a Meltzer connection. Cat Biter, Howie Reeve. Drunk Underwater, Warplane, Spitting Bitter Pills by Sigodi. I Can't Control Myself Live by Pascal Camalata, which... I think blew my mind with knowing he has thorough knowledge of
yeah,
this
man.
Yeah,
I'm a
fan. I can't trump him on a little esoteric
thing. I played him on my show not one fiscal quarter ago.
He's incredible. Well, both me and Henry know about him. You people should check
him
out.
Yeah, check him out.
And then finally, Carla Maria by Hi-Fi Club. What we were talking about that I failed to capture was the transition from being in a band on stage to being on a stage without a band.
Yeah. For me, I'm not a musician. I literally cannot play an instrument. I think I can play All Clair de Luna, if that's the name of the do-do-do-do-do, on a recorder. I remember that from fourth grade.
Don't think the voice is an instrument?
Well, it can be, if you can really sing. But for me, I was always a word guy. I've got something to say. If I can get a snare beat behind it, good to go. And so when I started doing talking shows in 83, at the behest of our pal Harvey Kubernick, you know, poetry reading, spoken word gigs, it was a natural for me. It was just like being in the band without the band.
Yeah.
So it was, I'll just say it without the band. And as the years went on, I would multitask. I'd finish a whole world tour with a band and then 10 days later do the same lap again by myself. And I would do like 140, 160 shows a year because I take both entities out. And with how the band tours would always come in, with Rollins' band, would always come in the red. So I have to send money orders from the road, from the spoken tours, to pay back the bandmates who were waiting for their $800. Well, they needed it. And I'm writing out these ridiculous 7-Eleven money orders from like Toledo. And hoping they get there. And, sleeping on Amtrak trains and just making it work. And then by the mid-80s, I'm going to Europe. By the late 80s, I'm doing these shows in Australia and New Zealand. And it just started picking up. And then the audiences started getting bigger. And then it just turned into a thing which now takes as much time as I can possibly give it. In that, the last tour is 190 shows, 19 countries.
Yeah.
I sell it out in Johannesburg. I sell it out in Hamburg and wherever else. It does very well. It's cool. I've been doing – and these days I actually do speeches where I'm brought in to speak. Last year I keynoted the College and Research Librarians Convention. I keynoted the California Library Association Convention like 7 weeks ago. Tomorrow I'm the keynote speaker at the LA Times Travel Convention thing, 3-day thing. And so I get, at Sonoma College, I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah, I was the graduation speaker a couple of years ago. I was the commencement speaker. I was wearing the cap and gown, the whole thing.
Because I know from this experience, when you ran a show that was you interviewed people on TV show.
Yeah, IFC. I had a show for 4 years.
Yeah, because I got to be with the Stooges.
Yeah, and you were on the show. Yeah.
And what was that like?
It was amazing.
It's a little different because you're sharing the stage. In fact, you got an interview.
Yeah, well, I've done a lot of documentary work for History Channel, National Geographic, IFC, a bunch of different people. I've been all over the world with a camera crew from here to South Sudan. And so you get used to interviewing people on the fly. And with that show, I interviewed everyone from you guys to Gore Vidal, Larry Flint. It was fascinating. And so after I interviewed ex-members of the IRA, I've interviewed all kinds of people.
What was the hardest one?
The hardest one were the ones I was most intimidated by the guest.
Before?
Yeah, before I met Gore Vidal. So I didn't want to get that wrong. who wants to get called out by Gore Vidal? So I rehearsed for that. I studied him. I was a fan anyway. But I prepped for that for a solid 3 weeks. So by the time he was on the show, I could finish his sentences. And I kind of interviewed him as one would a lawyer would cross-examine someone. I already knew the answers to what I was asking him. Okay, you know, in your recent essay, you said this. Elaborate. You know, so I'm already kind of on the page with him. I was intimidated when I interviewed Werner Herzog. Just because he's frickin' Herzog, man. Aguirre, Wrath of God, Fitzcarraldo, him and Klaus Kinski, are you kidding? So he walks into our little building, and I'm like, you know, Mr. Herzog, oh, call me Werner. I'm like, oh, last time I saw him, he bought me dinner. So he's a real sweetheart. He lives up the street from me, actually. He's L.A., yeah. Okay. He lives literally like two traffic lights from me.
Jim O'Rourke loves him. Jim O'Rourke said to me.
Oh, he's one of my heroes.
Herzog is a god.
No, to me, he is... He is one of my inspirations because he's the nicest guy. He's also a total maniac. My new documentary, I make this rock video under the ice in the South Pole. You're like, of course you did. Yeah, and he just shows you. Like, he's getting up there in years. He just shows you you never have to cool it. You never have to mellow out.
Right.
And you can still be a total artistic lunatic and be like 60-something and still drive people nuts.
So you thought it was going to be a tough one, but it ended up
being
easy.
Yeah, and the people who were the toughest interview I ever did was who's the guy from the Animals?
Eric Burden.
Eric Burden. He was drunk, and he just put out a book, which you should read if you haven't. It's his autobiography, wow. And it's fascinating.
Jordy.
Like, he's the one who went to Jimmy's hotel room and got the guitars out of there and cleaned up the place before the press descended upon it. He's got stories that will blow your mind. He knew everybody. You know, he knew the Beatles. He knew the Stones. He knew his good friends with Hendrix. I mean, he was there, you know? And so I'm subbing for that Rockline guy. I'm forgetting his name, but they had these sub on syndicated radio, like, hey, host Rockline. I'm in.
Bob
sure.
Coburn.
Huh?
Bob Coburn.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He was on vacation, and Bob and I were buddies. So much of buddies, I even remembered his name. But anyway, this is like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And so Bob said, hey, come and sub for me. I want to take the family on vacation. I said, you got it, man. And so I get a drunk or hungover. What's his name again? Yeah, well, I'm in denial. Yeah, he was such a bummer. I won't even remember his name. And I actually read the book in preparation, and it was a great read. And I said, hey, Mr. Burden, you know, Eric, I'm so happy to like, yeah. I said, so, you know, you and Hendrix. Yeah, Jimmy was great. Da-da-da-da? And like, we're on national radio, and so I'm looking through the glass at the engineer going like, he's killing me. And the guy's looking at me like, just make radio. I said, hey, you know, do we have any callers? The lines are lit up. I just fobbed them off on the audience. I said, like, hey, Eric, you got a ton of fans who love you, man. And let's get some calls in here. And I just let the fan, Eric, I love you, man. I've been listening to you since 1817 and during the potato famine, that single you released. I'm like, oh, good.
Let's hear some music.
turn it up. I'm another with a butter and I'm gonna tell a butter. I'm another with a butter and I'm gonna tell a butter. Oh, I'm all alone tonight. I'll call her, it'll be alright. I'm alone with a partner and I'm gonna tell a partner. I'm alone with a partner and I'm gonna tell a partner. I'm alone with a partner and I'm gonna tell a partner. That's why you burn, look for what I pack you for burn. That's why you burn, look for what I pack you for burn. I'll throw your brother for what I pack you for. Oh.
It's clean. It's green. Do you want to live in 20 years?
Okie dokie. Thank you.
Show. Our last music for today, Deer Hoof with To Fly or Not Fly, Travel in the Opposite Car, something live from Hooskers in the old days. Loner with a Boner, Black Randy, oh, Metro Squad, yes. Yeah, Hollywood song.
One of the greatest lyrics. I'm going to throw you for a looper when I pack in the pooper. I'll be like, what?
You know that.
I'm alone with a boner. I'm going to telephone her. And then the guitar. I'm all alone tonight. I'll call her. It'll be all right. The best.
If you want to live in Switzerland, seven neurotics, believe me, Glimmerman, Annihilate the Meth. Oh, this is a band from Cambodia. They got,
oh, wow.
There's a punk scene in Phnom Penh.
Yeah.
And this is
Great City.
Split and Six. Then Okie Dokie, The Water is Radioactive, GG Band. I think they're only half Korean. One guy's U.S. Nosy DMF. And finally, The Day by Eola. Henry, we're at the end of the show. If somebody was to ask you advice, a young man.
Yeah.
Wanted to get into this expression thing, right? Writing, singing.
Being artistically inclined. What, and trying to eat. Is that
what advice would you give the man?
Consider any artistic endeavor to be going into conflict. If you're going to be an artist, and this is for the girls and the guys,
yeah.
Consider yourself a warrior. Consider all artistic endeavors to be conflict, in that someone's going to not want you around, and you're going to have to vie for airspace. You're going to have to carve your niche out. Yeah. That being the fact, and the fact that the rent is not paid by your smile, it's paid by money. Have a job with a stable revenue flow. Stabilize your financial, fiscal life. Even if I want to be full-time with my band. The stats are against you. So have a job and do your band part-time so you get your yah-yahs out, because the stats say, the raw, awful numbers, say that the world will not pay for your artistic inclinations and aspirations. So don't lose. Don't become homeless because you're in love with your guitar, because you can have both. So get your financial world at least somewhat stabilized before you go into the artistic world, which is, to coin what David Lee Roth once said, sailing the seas of consequence. Because, like I said, statistically, many are going to go in, few are going to finish. And on that way, you can lose your car, your home, your couch, your credit rating, etc. And I'm not trying to sound like some money guy, but this is the real world. And so you can do it. You can do it all. You can have your crap job. And trust me, the job you don't like so much fuels your artistic intensity, because you come off the bad job, the paintbrush will burn in your hand. You will write and create some of your best stuff when you come off being pissed off riding the RTD back from your crap job. And you will remember those days fondly when you're living in a more cushy manner. But that's the one solid piece of advice. Art out, but consider it to be conflict, that you got to be a warrior, and you got to watch your dollars.
Keep the day job till the night job pays.
Yeah.
We didn't get to mention letters from Henry. I just want to say how much I did.
Oh, thanks.
Brother Matt, respect. Yeah, bitching.
Yeah, thank
bitching,
you.
You know, the...
Thank you.
Yeah, the real old mind, like the Stooges would say. The old mind. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
No problem.
Great to have you down here.
Fucking honor.
Thank you, sir. No, I'm glad to do it.
It's been the January 18, 2014 Dishawaf Peter Show. Thank you so much for your always accentuating in bed. And Brother Matt.
Pleasure.
And Henry again, once again. Thanks.
Glad to do it.
All the way down to where the Harbor Freeway ends here at the Pleasure Point and Love Grotto, and giving us the word from you.
Thank you.
Indeed.
Everybody out there, keep your powder dry.